look at this. Look at you're already cheating. You're already putting stuff in it. Oh, I mean, that's amazing. All right, I need you to help me kick off this message today, and I want you to blow up the balloon just a little. Wait, pause. How many of you already went, this is dumb and it actually hurts my head. I think I just got a headache. Petraea, would everybody stretch a hand towards my wife? She cannot blow up a balloon. She even told me yesterday, she goes, I'm not going to be able to blow up the balloon. I'm like, honey, we'll pray for you. We believe in miracles. All right, now don't tie it off because here's what I want to see. Can you take this balloon and can you make a little... Yeah, now we're having church, right? This is not it. Okay, wait, blow it up a little more. I like this. Okay. All right, pause. All right, so this balloon represents you and I today, okay? That's what this balloon represents. That's why I chose tie-dye. That's because it's diverse. And now I believe that what we just put in this balloon, air, is a symbol throughout Scripture for the Holy Spirit. Not just wind, but there's other things. We could have put water in this, but I figured water balloons would be messy. And it's cold outside, and I know you would throw it at me. So I just wouldn't want to do that. And we'd also say that, you know, you could put fire in it because that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But then the balloon wouldn't last, and that would be bad. And I could just see little versions of the Hindenburg and all that. It just wouldn't be good. So we went with wind. We went with wind, and it fits. Air. And so that's what this balloon, you and I, is meant to be filled with, right? Exactly. This is what we're meant to be filled with. Now, the problem is, if your balloon is still full, anybody who has ever had a worry, would you just let it go? Okay. That's good. That's just a little, like some of you were really going just then. I said worry and you're like, wah. Okay, wait a minute. Let's say any of you ever, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're just on the verge of retirement. Have you ever worried about your future specifically? Wait. Let's say, what about, how many of you have a spouse? What about financial issues? Oh man, I gotta pull it back up. What about physical issues? Anybody got any physical? Maybe IBS? I don't know. I'm sorry. Is this whatever it might be? What? Oh my goodness! Now those are all bad things. So let's shift gears and let's say I'm starting to get lightheaded. How many of you serve in some capacity? You just serve. Go ahead. You're on the Connect Ministry. Everybody on the Connect Ministry, let it out. Oh, how many of you go to the Odd Fellows Home and help the elderly people and share the gospel? Go ahead. It's good, but boy, it just deflates, doesn't it? Wait. How many of you actually read your Bible and pray for someone else? That's just a lot. Take time, devotions. This is horrible. How many of you come to church at least 2 times out of the month? Oh, I'm there every day. Wow, this is gone. Okay, all right. Do you have a point so far? You getting it? All right, it's not, the point hasn't been made yet. Turn with me while you hold on to you. Turn with me to a section in Scripture where it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Well, actually, before we get to verse 5, verse 18, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Just because I like that one even better. And it's a good build up for the next one. Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read specifically verse 19. And I'm going to read the verse right before it. And it said, and through Jesus, we have both access in one spirit to the Father. And verse 19. Oh, I'm in 2. Sorry. 3. There it is. And so the prayer starts. He's going to pray that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints how broad and how long and how deep and how high, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Everybody just say, filled up. Filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, skip over to the next couple chapters away. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 18. Let's see that. Well, let's read 15, 16, 17, and then we'll read 18. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Oh, wait, the days are evil. Sorry. I got to do a little bit of that. It is. It just takes it away. Days are evil, day after day. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Say that again, filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, be the glory. Amen. I got to fill my balloon back up. Anybody else have a half-empty balloon? Let's fill it up. All right. I'm going to pray. Hold on to the balloon. I know this is distracting for every ADD person in this place. But, you know, just hold this balloon. This is you. This is you. And, you know, in parabolic nature, these things represent great things. They do. They talk about something very profound about us. Don't miss that. Don't miss what the Lord is doing and what He's speaking to us today. Heavenly Father, I ask for You to speak in profound ways through me to every person in this room. Lord, we're hungry for You. We're hungry for You. And we want more of You, like we've sung. And Lord, I ask for You to just make this prayer in Ephesians, make it a reality for us so that we would know what it is to know everything about You as much as we could possibly know at this time. Lord, help us to be filled, just as this scripture says, to be filled with Your Spirit today. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. Why do I pray to God about this right here? I'll tell you why. Because in Isaiah 55, 1, and Isaiah 58, 11, we see what was prophesied then, what was spoken of then, and what Jesus quoted in John 7. What Jesus said in John 7 was this. He said, He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, as Isaiah prophesied, He said, He who believes in Me, from his innermost being, from inside of him, will flow rivers of living water. Will flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? It means there's going to be inside of you as a believer a river of living water, not just a container for the Holy Spirit, but a river of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is really important today. I feel like this is so timely. I postponed some of the things I wanted to talk about so I could address this. I wrestled with this message a lot. I really feel like the Lord has got something special for you today. When I read Isaiah 58:11 and Isaiah 55:1, here's what we see. We see, "Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat." In 58:11, it says, "The Lord will guide you always. He's going to satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and He's going to strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden and like a spring whose waters never fail." That's what the Scripture prophesies. That's what each and every one of us are intended, at least by God's mind. God's mind says He wants each and every one of you to be like that. But what are we like? Go ahead, give me your little song. Oh, come on, let it out. Just let it out. Let it out. That's what it is. This is horrible, isn't it? Now I'm going to tell you. Oh, just deflated. Look at this. When I look at this poor balloon now, here's what I see. I see saggy. I see it just doesn't have much of a form and it's empty. But what I want to see is what God prophesied. This is so pitiful, isn't it? Okay, hold up your empty balloon for a second. You know, there's another prophecy that says in the last days there will be people with form, but they deny the power. And this balloon has form, but there's nothing filling it. You can put it down. But I want you to look at this, and I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus ran across an individual one time who was very empty. He ran across a woman who was very empty. In fact, she was so used by all of the different things in her life, and she was so promised love, and then it never delivered. And then was promised other things. It just never worked out. And she just had problems and struggles. Until one day, Jesus met with her at a well. Think of the symbolism. He met with her at a well, and He used that well as an illustration for her very life and her very soul. He said, "You've been coming here getting water to drink. You bring a container," He's saying. "You come with your container empty, you fill it up," and a lot of times this woman had made it a habit to come in the middle of the day where there would be the least chance and opportunity of embarrassment or shame. Because in that community, what she went through really carried a lot of shame, and she didn't want more shame, so she still needed water, but she would come at the most opportune time so she wouldn't be embarrassed or made fun of. And then she'd fill up the container, as big a container, as many containers as she might have. She filled them up with that life-giving water, and then she would take it back in order to survive that day or that week. That was her pattern. She did it over and over and over and over again. "I don't have a well in me, but I know where a well is, and I'll go and I'll get water from that, and I'll bring it back so I can live today." Church, I believe that many people, and especially in the Green Bay area, are familiar with religion. They're familiar with Christianity and its terms and different things like that. They might even be able to express some of the tenets of salvation, the four spiritual laws or stuff like that. They may be able to say any one of those things. But I can tell you this, what I see is many people bringing their empty containers to the well, filling up, and then going back in order to live life. They do that. They bring in the empty container, and then they're just hoping that the songs fill them up. They're just hoping that the pastor fills them up. They're just hoping that that good friend that they see once a week fills them up. Me personally, the donuts. and the coffee, that kind of stuff. You know, and then if they're really lucky, they have an out-of-body almost experience where they really feel the presence of the Lord, and somebody has a specific word that addresses a need or an emptiness that they feel. And boy, on that day, it's not just this, it's just, and you see them then, and they are full. They are really full. Then Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday. They didn't come to church on Wednesday or go to a small group or any of that, so Thursday, Friday. Boy, and Saturday they went to the friends because maybe friends helped fill them up, but you know what? Those friends don't really love God and have a relationship with God, so Saturday night out, they're having a me time. They need to refresh. Work was horrible. All that kind of stuff. I just need to relax and be replenished. But they're still empty, aren't they? In fact, they're still being emptied. And then they come back Sunday, and maybe there's a little bit left. And they're saying, I just need more water from the well. And hopefully I get filled back up. Here's my proposition. This is a stupid way to live. In all honesty, this isn't what God intended. God said, this isn't what I've promised you. This isn't what I died for. This isn't even what I prophesied for. If this isn't what Isaiah in 55 said, hey, I want you to have a really big container in which to hold Jesus and the Spirit of God. And if you're struggling, just get a bigger container. Now, in the earthly terms, that hasn't fixed any of our problems in life, has it? I'm not happy. Well, what I need is more stuff. Get more stuff. That's what you need. More stuff, isn't it? Oh, wait, well, no. This marriage didn't make me happy. I need another marriage. More love. That's what's going to help, right? What about education? A better job. You know, I'm not happy with this job. I need another job. I need more jobs. I need a better job. And it doesn't. More of the same doesn't cure the illness. And the bigger container of God doesn't make up for the fact there's no spring. There's no well. There's no well springing up inside. So what happens? I believe that God has called us to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians, what that term means, it means not a one-time kind of action. It's, think of it like a verb. Being filled, that means constantly flowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Abiding, as John 15 would say, abiding in the Holy Spirit. As Jesus would say, if you abide in me and I abide in you, my words, and you obey those, then out of you comes a spring. Something begins to burst forth in your life, not because you're just being filled, but because you're overflowing. There's a spring inside. So what Jesus says through the apostles and the prophets and to us today is, I want you to know me more. I want you to be filled, and you will be constantly overflowing. If I were to plug this little container in to an overflowing, unstoppable flow of air, what would happen? This is really what I believe God wants to do. You ready for this? She knows what's coming. I saw the strength team one time do this with a hot water bottle. What are they? Those big rubber bottle things that would fill them up. Anyway. And I'm sitting here looking at this. Lord, I don't know if I can contain any more. But you know what? He says, I don't want you to just have a one-time fill. I want you to be filled. There needs to be a constant flow. What's going to happen? Oh, you should have saw this when I did it out in the back. Two of the neighbors came out to see if I shot a gun. It's about to happen. It's almost there. It's almost there. One more. Two more. Oh, it is so big. It's only supposed to go 12 inches. It's not like 19. was amazing. I think I'm gonna fall out from being lightheaded. And I'm gonna have to go change my pants. Never mind, that's like so scary. All right, look at this. I have to tell you the illustration. Look at this. Some people will see this and they'll go, yeah, that's the very reason why I don't want what you're talking about. That is messy, it's crazy, it's a little unpredictable. All of those things are the very reasons why I would say, I think I've had enough, bartender. I do not need any more of Jesus or the Holy Spirit in my life because I really can't control it anymore. That's one fear. Here's the other fear. I don't want to lose this. It's what I'm familiar with. It is my identity. I look in the mirror and I want to see saggy and baggy and formless. Okay, that's just not right. It's not even right. And yet we often are familiar with these forms, and that's what we have become identified with. And this is us. We are this. It's life. I only want to survive. I only need enough of Jesus to get through 6 days. 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I can get filled up again. But I only need him just to last me 6 days. Any more of that, it could get dangerous. Here's the problem with both of those fears. You're in bondage. If both of those are the things you're dealing with, if you don't want to lose what you are missing out on the abundant life that John 10:10 promises. Jesus has promised you a life of abundance, not a saggy, flabby, empty, half-filled life. He wants a full life, and it comes through knowing him. See, the other thing is, what we're really wanting is we're wanting to know and to be known. That Holy Spirit, we want relationship with God, but we're afraid of what it's going to cost us and what it's going to change in us. All of those fears will be melted if you let the love of God melt those fears. It'll cast out every single one of those fears of this. You have nothing to worry about with that. I want to pull out a couple scriptures because really at the heart of my message today, I want to talk about intimacy. I want to talk about intimacy with God, and I want to talk about intimacy with other people. In the last few weeks, we've touched on relationships and what they illustrate about our faith. But one of the relationships I failed to really highlight is the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. The relationship you have with God. I talked about relationships with your spouse and how they should illustrate your faith. I gave letters to you. Hopefully they were encouraging and not depressing and irritating. Really just meant to fuel your mind to think about how your relationships can illustrate a real love, a real faith. So as a young person, if you've got parents, how do you illustrate that love and faith to your parents in that relationship? And not just them, but if you're single, how do you show your love for Christ as a single? Totally in love with Jesus, totally giving yourself to the Lord and letting him supply all of your needs and fulfill everything that you need too, or all of that. It's amazing, but your relationships with people here can illustrate your faith. But one of the things that has just been haunting me since those other messages is how is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? And that's why that balloon illustrates something very powerful for me. It's our connection with God. How many of you have a smartphone? My smartphone is in the other room right now. If you got a smartphone, would you just hold it up and show me? Just show me your smartphone. I know you got it with you. You probably check it 50 times a day. Okay, this is good. I like that. Apple, good job. It's a good job. Anybody got a Samsung? Samsung Galaxy, something that lights up on fire? There you go. Holy Spirit in the pocket right there. That's right there. That's Pentecost in a phone form. It'll light up on fire on you, and it'll just be great. You have a Holy Ghost fit. Now, here's something that's unique about those cell phones. How many of you had to charge it last night or today? You did? You had to plug it in, didn't you? It's amazing. I've had my iPhone for a few years now, and I discovered something. it was not charging. And I thought, dadgum, Apple, I hate Apple. They are so smart, they planned it, that as soon as I was done paying for this puppy, and as soon as the warranty was up, it dies. And I was getting all that weird sense of, ooh, I'm gonna stick it to the man, I'm gonna do something, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be like Ken and go back to flip phone or a rotary dial phone. And, you know, something like that. I'm gonna carry that army, like, wind-up phone thing, whatever that is. Headquarters, I'm coming home with pizza. You know, stuff like that. I don't know what it is, but I was like, oh, I was getting so crazy. And so I do what everyone does when they go to proms. I hit my knees and I ask Google. And I was like, Google, what's wrong? My iPhone is not cooperating with me. I went right past prayer and just went straight to Google. And Google spit back some videos. And one of the videos was, if your iPhone is doing this and not charging, here's your problem. Your power port is clogged. And I was like, my PowerPoint ain't clogged. I got no problem with power port. And they said, what you do is grab a toothpick. This little household item that's so common will help you. And I was like, toothpicks? No, I don't need no toothpick. I need a bobby pin. And then just as I was about to go bobby pin into a, you know, an electronic thing, I went, probably not smart. Wooden toothpick would be better. So then I pull out the wooden toothpick, and I'm in there in the kitchen, and I'm all, no, 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 no. And sure enough, it's just like Mikey's belly button. You pull out a ton of lint. And I mean, there was so much lint, small children could have sweaters knit out of it. I was pulling stuff out of my like iPhone power port. Sorry to pick on you, dude, I just love you. And it's like, I'm pulling stuff out of the power port and I'm like, I didn't even know that was there. That's amazing. Hey honey, I found the popcorn from last night. I was like, there was a lot of junk in that. After I got done pulling all that stuff, I said, I wonder if it really works. And I went and plugged it back in. Sure enough, ping, ding, charging. 3%. And I was like, oh, Google was right and my power port was clogged. That was amazing. See, this is the problem with us and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Our connection to the power source is really where the discrepancy lies. In your life and in my life, here's the reason why we get deflated. The reason why we don't just explode and overflow with God's presence. It's because of our connection. It literally is that simple. Most of us are satisfied with going as long as the battery charge will last instead of constantly staying plugged in. And the challenge for believers is to not be satisfied with half charge or once in a while charge. The challenge for you to look a little bit higher and say, could you imagine life being completely satisfied and fulfilled, supplied at all times in every season of life, so that even if you're in a desert time of your life, you will be supplied with whatever you need for life and godliness. For whatever you need for life and godliness. That means wisdom when you need it. You don't know what to do? Yes, you do. Unclog that power supply source and get tapped in to the flow of the Holy Spirit. But don't just charge once and walk. Stay plugged in. The Holy Spirit is unique. It's not like the little outlets in my house, you know, my little 15 amp outlet that I could plug my little iPhone in. And then when I travel, if I'm in my car, I have a different one. I have to have like this little adapter thing that plugs into my car in order to charge it. And then if I don't have that, they have these other things, portable power supplies that actually charge your phone when you don't have access to a plug-in or to an adapter. And that's the limitation of my earthly phone. You don't have that limitation as a living, breathing vessel of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has the qualities of God. All powerful, all knowing, and everywhere. Everywhere. That means he's at work with you. That means he's here in church with you. That means he's with you at school. He's with you everywhere. You don't even need an adapter. You just have to have a good connection. Ooh, that's good, isn't it? You just have to have a good connection. So,
When I look at what it is that causes us to have bad connections or clogging it up and stuff like that, I don't know about you, but I want to get rid of that junk. I want to deal with it because I want intimacy with the Lord. I really want to be connected with God. And so here's a couple things that I want to highlight. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4, I read this at verse 30. I don't know if you stay in one book of the Bible in your devotional times, but I just challenge you. If you find something that sparks your interest in Ephesians today and you've never read through the book of Ephesians completely, spend some time. Just read through it. You can read through it pretty quick. Just over again through the book of Ephesians. And then don't stop there. There are other times where you find something out of a letter, read it over and over again. And then just do some back research, and it'll deepen your understanding of what's in that scripture, and things will show up to you that you'd be surprised. So in chapter 4, starting in, let's say, verse 28. We'll start at verse 28. We'll read 28, 29, and then 30. It says in verse 27. How do you not read 27? That's a good one. Okay, so verse 27, it says, don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't open up the door for anything to clog that power source. That's my paraphrase of verse 27. Everybody understand that? Don't open a little bit, just a little crack, and that clogging can get in. And here's examples. So let him who steals, steal no longer. But rather, let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only those words which are good, that build up others, according to the need of that moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Uh-oh, I don't know about you, but we have to really watch our words. And then in verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. And how do we not grieve? Well, this is what you help get rid of. Well, let all bitterness, get rid of bitterness. Why? Bitterness, it just deflates it. Okay, well, let's get rid of wrath and anger. Why? It just lets it all flow out. What if it's not wrath and anger? What is clamor and slander? What is all of that? All that junk. It just really lets it all out. It's no good. And then if it's not just clamor and slander, put away from you all malice. Put away all malice. None of that evil thinking. None of that evil hatred from your heart towards anything else. And then here, you got to put on some stuff. You got to put on. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted to one another. No one's perfect. Be gentle. Be forgiving. Be loving. Don't crush people just because you can. Don't smack them just because you have the opportunity. Just because you're right doesn't mean you're so right. You can be wrong. So be tenderhearted, forgive one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Here's what I need to point out. When I've talked about those other relationships, a lot of the keys in those relationships is it's a living, breathing thing. It's a relationship. It's not math. It's not science. It's an art. Being with somebody and having a good relationship with somebody, it's not paint by numbers. It's really an art. And so for you and for me, we have to tap into the art of knowing God. The art of knowing God. And what is that like? Yeah, don't worry about it. She's doing what I've asked her to do. She's come up and play. We're going to have to say this every now and then just so people don't get weirded out and stuff, you know. Or you could wear your invisible cloak, you know, and you could be like sneaking up and stuff. But that art and science of knowing and relating to the Lord, that is key. It really is key. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we become intimate with the Lord? Well, I can tell you, here's a picture of it. I read this long time ago when I was first starting out in ministry, and it was one of those things where when I saw it, it kind of set the bar really high. I thought, man, this is what I know I want. I want this, Lord. Yeah, I read it in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. It says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And God took him. Took him away. He spent time with the Lord. And after spending so much time walking with the Lord, at some point, God just said, you want to come over and spend the night at my place? I think that's really what happened. Enoch, at a time when it was very uncommon for people to be calling on the name of the Lord, they just started calling on the name of the Lord. Enoch was a person who had a relationship and intimacy with the Lord, similar to other people in Scripture. Elijah had an intimate relationship and God took him and died. I look at that and I think that's powerful. Had an awesome relationship. There was no separation between him and the Father, Jesus. Don't get sidetracked by the fact that he died on a cross. He actually lived. He endured the cross. That was just a duty and a task, paying for the sins of the world. He ascended into heaven, no corruption whatsoever. He didn't see decay. He didn't see that. Why? He was intimately connected with the Father. I look at people who were close to him. Do you know that Jesus walked with people that were close to him? In his arena of relationships, here's how I would describe the circles, the concentric circles of relationship and intimacy with the Lord. You're in one of these circles, by the way. You're in one of these circles. The heart of this circle is truly walking with God. Truly walking with God. And I read this scripture, I mean, it says it in this, in Galatians 5, 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That means walking with God. If we live by the Spirit is your life, then you've got to walk with the Spirit. So, Petrea, can you come here for a second? I want you just to walk with me, and I know it's silly, but I want you to just walk with me because this is the way I feel it is for each and every one of us in God's eyes that we're supposed to be with Him. My heart just breaks. There are people who have lived that deflated, just fill me up a little now, just fill me up a little now, and then they go out and they're empty. They're just empty. But I believe that the Lord is saying this, like Enoch, like Elijah, like those that were close to him. Jesus had a mass of people. They were the masses. He fed 5,000. He fed, 7,000. He fed thousands miraculously. They saw the miracles. They came. They heard that there was a miracle worker and he would feed you miraculously. Let's go and see what he does. He heals every sick person. He does things that no one else can do. You got to come see him. And so then on the masses circle, people just want to come and see. Not everybody saw. Not everybody was able to hear. There were many Jewish people never got to see it. I guess we should walk down here. It's easier. And so, there you got a whole generation of people. Some never wanted to walk with him. But then there was less than 100 people, say 77. At one time, we know for sure it was at least 77. 77 people who said, we will be followers. We're not just going to come and see. What happened to that crowd? Jesus said, when I stop cooking, you stop coming. Uh-oh. If you stop serving what I like to eat, I'm not coming. That's not someone who's about intimacy walking with the Lord. And so but who stayed? Those that decided to follow. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to follow him. Now those people, what happened to them? They began to follow him and they liked what they heard and they began to eat his teaching. But out of them, there was even a smaller crowd. There was a crowd of 12. Those were the ones that when Jesus said, hey, you're a part of the crew, I'm going to ask you specifically to make a choice. Now, what was the choice he was making or asking them to make? The 77 just came and listened to the teaching. But to 12, he said, I want you to leave everything and I want you to follow me. I want you to make a sacrifice deeper than the crowd. There was the masses. Then there was the crowd of 77, and then he looked at the 12 and he said, I want you to make a sacrifice. I want you to pick up your cross, and I want you to deny self, and I want you to walk with me. That's what it takes. So then Petrea here represents us. She's past the masses. She's past the crowd. She's now a part of the 12. She's walking with Jesus daily because she says, I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to sacrifice. But you know what? In that crowd of 12, Jesus had Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were people that we saw many times in the Gospels. He said, hey, Peter, James, and John, I want you to come with me. I'm going to do a miracle with this young daughter who's dead, but I'm not going to let anybody else come. I want you three to walk with me. So then he said, you three walk with me. And he took them into a special place so that those three, Peter, James, and John, could see the miracle firsthand and see something else. He was teaching them something else. And then he said, on other times, he goes, I want you three just come up with me, and I want to show you something else. So he took them up to a Mount of Transfiguration, and there he was, transfigured right before their eyes. They see something that none of the other 12 got to see. Why? Because they were walking a little closer. They were walking more intimately with Jesus. So much so that Peter's the one that says, hey, everyone else can deny you, but I'm not going to deny you. Do you hear that heartbeat? And then out of those three, there was one. There was one, John the Beloved. He not only answered the call of the disciples to sacrifice, pick up his cross, and follow him, he also answered the next call of, will you share my heart? And so those three shared the heart of God, and they wanted that. But then there was one. There was one. John the Beloved. And John the Beloved, he spent extra time with. Why? He found in John a heart of someone that wanted to walk intimately with the Lord. It's kind of like he'll put you on like this. I like this. This is good. This is my favorite message because I get to hold you and walk. See, the night Jesus was betrayed, there was one disciple that many times throughout the life of those disciples, they would ask. John's really close with them. John, would you ask Jesus? And so right there at the Last Supper, Jesus says, in our midst, there's one person that's going to betray me. And everybody else went, well, not me, man. I'm one of the 12. Some of them said, not me. I'm one of the three. And then they all kind of scratched their heads and goes, hey, John, why don't you ask him who it is? And so then he asked John, and John is right there leaning next to Jesus, close to Jesus, right where John was. And what was it about John that he chose to walk with? I'll tell you what it was. John chose to carry a responsibility that none of the other disciples wanted to carry. There's a responsibility of walking with God that you and I have the opportunity to take. To care for what Jesus cares for and to carry what Jesus would carry. That's what John did. How do I know this? Because on the cross, Jesus looks to John and he says, John, that I care for, would you care for Mary? She's your mom now. You treat her like she's your mom. And then Mary, he's your son. Basically, John was a copy, a carbon copy of Jesus's heart. That's why John preached so much about love. That's why John, they couldn't even kill the guy. Well, here's a carbon copy of Jesus. He walked with God. And he had the revelation that we read at the end of the Bible. It's just powerful. Look at this. And here's how I want to end this tonight or today. I want to ask you to stand with me. And I just want you to not do anything crazy, but I just want you to do this. Tired of just filling up on Sundays and then emptying out through the week, I want you to just in prayer ask the Lord to remove anything that is blocking that power connection with God. And I want you to just ask for maybe the heart that God has. I want you to ask for that heart. He wants to walk with you, but I want you to ask the Lord, I want to walk with you this week. I want to walk with you every moment of every day. I want to walk with you in the morning, as I'm at my job or at school or wherever I'm at, and before I lay my head on the pillow at night, I want you to be the last thing through my mind. I want you to be the last thing that comes from my lips. I want you to be who I walk with. And I guarantee you that you will have a river of living water that springs up inside of you. You won't be able to contain that kind of life. Live like that. Would you just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you that your Holy Spirit is filling and moving in our lives and in our hearts. And I ask for you to fill us each and every one to overflowing. Fill us to overflowing, Lord. In every facet of our being, our mind and our emotions, fill us, Lord, with your word. Lord, I ask that in every heart and mind in this room that we choose to walk with you. Past the crowds, past the masses, past the disciples, I want to be in that inner circle. I want to be the one that walks hand in hand with you. So, Lord, let that be a reality for each and every one of us. And I just thank you right now for protecting us from everything that grieves your heart and grieves your spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, you know what? As you go today, I want you to know that you're blessed. And just go in the name of Jesus and be blessed and have a great day, have a great week. You can walk with him every single day. Now, if you have a need or if there's something you'd like to pray for, I'd ask you to come down and pray with us so you don't leave today without having someone pray for you. So you be blessed. See you on Wednesday.
His name.